What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You now entering the Daily Wave, hosted by Mr. Christopher Green himself. Oh, me? I'm just a fellow truth speaker. I go by the name of Doctrine. Welcome to the Daily Wave, starring
hey,
Christopher
we
Green.
We are back to the show, live around the world. I'm Christopher Green. Green Wave Radio Live. We're broadcasting on American Freedom Radio, syndicating around the planet, and maybe even extraterrestrially. We're not too sure. I'm here with Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Credible talent. In fact, he follows up our show. Most of you, I think, good portion of our audience kind of does
like
the
correct you. I'd like to correct you. I'm not credible talent. I'm incredible talent.
You're an incredible and credible talent. And yeah. Vinny was sharing with me during the break. He said, you know, sex sells, Christopher. Sex. And I agree with that. And we know what sells to the public. I see here you're actually on video Skype with me at the moment. We're talking about, Vinny suggested, you know, maybe we could put together a calendar. You know, we'll, you know, show some skin, you know, do some sexy poses. We'll get that out to the public. And maybe we'll even do one of those talking orange videos. You know, I'll see how we can put that together because America loves the talking oranges, Vinny. Millions of views. So I don't know. Maybe we should play into the pop culture. Maybe more people would be awake to what's really going on.
Well, and also I think it's an idea because you've got all these different kinds of attraction that you can exploit and manipulate as a member of the media. Now, I mean exploit and manipulate in a very bad way because that's the way it should be thought of. And people should be made conscious that they're being exploited and manipulated in an intellectual fashion. Even if somebody's telling the truth and has your best interests at heart, technically it's still manipulation. Propaganda, you can either use lies to convince somebody of a particular point of view, or you can use the truth. It's still propaganda because you're trying to influence the way people think, aren't you?
Sure. Yeah, all information's propaganda. It's more of a question of, where's it coming from? Is it based on truth or is it fiction? You know, what's the intent? I mean, just think about little kids, how great salespeople they are, you know? Mom, you know, can I get this sucker over? You know, can I get this toy? Johnny got one. Come on. You know, I mean, kids are propagandists.
Well, and that's because the kids are propagandized too. And they're not conscious of the mind control of the 10,000 odd television commercials for sugary odd cereals and stuff that they get in the day. My point was being that I know a lot of truthers, okay, and very few of them actually dress well and look good, you know, when they're walking around and stuff. Very few. There's maybe I'd say 10% have some kind of fashion sense. The rest are just kind of blue jeans and t-shirts kind of thing. Very few have a decent looking haircut, and this isn't like something that I'm trying to rag on people or bash on people about here. I'm not saying that I'm pretty or anything like that. What I'm simply saying is, you have a look at the mainstream media, and you have a look at why people take them seriously. It's because they look spectacular, but that's the only reason people take them seriously. Okay, everything that's coming out of their mouth is BS. So what we do is everything comes out of our mouth is truth. Hopefully, most of us. And everything else, we try to adopt and appear very similar to. It's kind of like it's kind of like pulling a bait and switch. You know, you bait somebody in with what they think is just somebody who looks real nice and pretty and stuff like that, expecting you might see some booby. But
which we've seen before on mainstream TV. It's funny, they throw together those videos and they show all the mishaps and. There's a lot of interesting stuff that's happened, especially during live programming. But yeah, I think looking good and representing a sense of professionalism should be taken by the Liberty Movement, by people in our line of work. You know, maybe not at all times. I guess you have to be suited up. But, you know, I can tell you even at some of these events that we've attended, you know, we put on the suits and we kind of blend in. Otherwise, you know, if you're approaching people looking for interviews and that kind of thing, you know, they're not going to take you seriously. So I would totally agree with you. You have to take yourself seriously and take what you're doing seriously enough for people to take you seriously and respect your work and respect your content, which I think, you know, few people honestly within the movement do. So I think you're onto something there, Vinny.
Well, and also it's a question of brainwashing, mind control, that sort of thing, and how far do we go? Because I've been contacted by mainstream media yesterday about the chemtrail protest that I pulled over the weekend, and I'm just going to say to the guy, dude, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I know you work for a mainstream media organization, but that's all I know. And based on that alone, with no more information about you, the answer is no. I'm not going to do an interview with you because you're just going to demonize me. And quite frankly, you're mainstream media, and I'll damage my credibility by even associating with you. Well, you know, and not to mention, you're a competing news organization for me now, and I don't help out my competition, buddy.
Yeah, well, I can see, yeah, we see all the time, every day, how, you know, the mainstream media will manipulate. I mean, they can manipulate any well-versed propagandist, any person that has an expertise in that area could pretty much take any type of content and spin it any way that they wanted to, effectively. I mean, we could make you, I think about, we've talked about this before, imagine if we had the infrastructure of the mainstream media. We could just put out lies, which the mainstream media does, and millions of people would believe them. It's that easy.
It really is. And it strikes me that people have lost discernment. Like, once upon a time, you'd be able to look at something or hear somebody speak, and you'd hear exactly what they're saying and get it, right? But what I find now is happening is you'll get into half a sentence of something that they instantly disagree with, and they quickly pigeonhole you, put you in a box, stop listening, and inside their mind they're just like, oh my God, this guy's crazy, and they ignore everything that you're saying. So I think that, well, basically my opinion with mainstream media is that they're dead, okay? They're gone. A zombie walks up to you and says, I want to do an interview. And you go, well, dude, I'm sorry, you're a zombie. You're going to try and bite me and infect me with your zombie illness. I'm not keen, bro. Not keen. And that's basically what's going on here, because these they're dead in the water. Yeah. I mean, by myself, bro, I have gotten more of a YouTube following than the entire New Zealand Herald, which is like the equivalent of the New York Times in this country, in less than 5 years.
I know, that's okay? That's amazing. And it's to the point where it's you know, obvious, and it's to the detriment of the system. But yeah, the mainstream media is absolutely and utterly dead. I don't even think some of the numbers that they put out on viewership are even accurate anymore. You said so yourself. I mean, here you are, a guy out of New Zealand. You do this great show. I mean, your audience is bigger than a lot of these, mainstream news channels or outlets. But give me a perfect example of how dead the mainstream media is. When we were down in Tampa covering the Republican convention, you know, there's a lot of people there, all the major networks. And there was one room of new media. So it was filled with people like us, people of kind of the Google generation. It was this vibrant, really cool facility, amazing technology. You know, people are broadcasting shows all around the world in their different niches and all this kind of stuff. And then the big rooms, you know, were encumbered by, you know, CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox. And we actually had people coming up to us. People were coming up to me, runners for CNN and, these other mainstream organizations wanting employment with what we do. Like, how do we become a part? Everybody knows, especially the youth, that the old media is a dinosaur, dead and dying. What we do is the future for media.
Well, and you know what? We didn't get employed by anybody in order to get where we are, Chris. That's what these people don't realize, is that you can't get a job for a news organization that's credible. You actually have to create a news organization that's credible. The reason why the media has been taken over is because of the Military Commissions Act, which took 800 U.S. media corporations and turned it into 7 and then into 5 and now into 4. it is the reason why the mainstream media is so dead is because they ain't got any people capable of making any decisions in the entire structure without somebody else's say-so. Start your own media. You have YouTube, you have Vimeo, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have $20 in your pocket that you can, $6 a month that you can get from HostGator. Okay, what do you got to lose? Okay, you don't even have to quit your current mainstream media job in order to start your own news organization. And you know what's great about it is that, oh my God, I can suddenly report on whatever I want. I don't get told what to do anymore. The problem is, and this is where a lot of people fall short, is you have to force yourself. You don't have to tell yourself, because telling yourself doesn't do anything. You actually now have to force yourself to do that stuff that you want to see done. It's like, what are the mainstream media missing out on this particular story? Ah, they're missing everything. So I need to go and interview that person, get a whole bunch of things. Ask the basic journalistic credibility questions, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Okay? And then boom, you're a newsman. You've instantly done more work and more thought and more research and have more credibility than any mainstream media journalist, in my opinion, if you go ahead of your own volition and just go ahead and do it.
Sure.
Not asking somebody else for a job.
Yeah, and you're more accountable personally for your content as well, because you know you can't really blame it on the fact, well, hey, I'm reading the teleprompter they gave me at CNN's headquarters. No, it's you. I mean, so there's more accountability, I think, to the news process. It's another reason, though, why, Vinny, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, is I think it's important, because this is so obvious now. I mean, you've probably experienced this a lot. You probably do experience this a lot as well. But, I mean, people honestly treated me like a leper 3 years ago when I decided to do the whole YouTube thing. And, oh, yeah, I'm doing a show. It was like, what an idiot. I mean, I was like a leper, send me off to an island with the AIDS patients. Now I'm a genius. Everybody wants to know how they can, dip their toe in the water and do kind of the things that we do. It's another reason why we're having such a flood of all the copycats now, is why I really think it's important to strengthen the alternative media just in general, and make sure, because my fear is, I don't know how long this stuff lasts. I mean, okay, we syndicate across YouTube. That's great. It's been an amazing platform. I give it credit where credit is due. It's been liberating. It's this amazing tool. But don't you think that those in power and those in control are going to consolidate this stuff and push out the little guys and the big money once again?
This is another interesting element, Chris, because I've got a lot of friends who, have associated with me back in the day and even through till today, who keep talking about all this stuff, but they keep saying just things like that. Don't you think they'll consolidate this? Don't you think they'll just push me out or whatever? And they talk themselves out of doing anything at all, and they don't need to be silenced because they've willingly silenced themselves.
Yeah, and I think, this is where we're at. We've talked about this, Vinny, quite a lot through the since how long we've known each other. I don't know if that's been, what, a year or longer, or it's got to have been longer than that. I know time goes by so quick, but we already have the infrastructure in the networks built. Whether it's AMTV, GreenWave. In fact, we're just about to debut a brand new syndication platform called AMTV Media, which launches in 13 days, one day before the election, November 5th. So I expect we'll be collaborating a lot more, but we have your brand, what you're doing. We have all these amazing people that are already in the movement that have already created and built these audiences. We just need to embrace each other at this point. And also, for those that want to get involved, those people that are passionate about the things that we are doing, we just need to give them a helping hand. And, give them the opportunity, and the platforms are already available, but kind of garner that opportunity a little bit and, get people out there that otherwise don't know how to start or are afraid or just don't know how to approach it, because we've got the technology, we've got the vision, just already, like you said, like look at what you've accomplished in the few years, Vinny, since you've been doing this. It's pretty amazing, and it's making a difference, so...
Well, allegedly, But also, another thing that people need to recognize is that you are who you stand with. Okay? You have a look at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You have a look at the featured interviews page, and it's like George Norrie, E&R Crane, Lindsay Williams, and people that you'd expect to see on the biggest talk radio shows that you'd ever conceive of on internet talk radio, Patriot Radio, Conspiracy Theories, even on Coast to Coast, you know, that kind of thing. Now, I am infinitesimal, tiny, okay? There's like 750,000 websites in this world that are much bigger than mine in terms of the alternative media, but when anybody from a potential guest to a potential investor to a potential listener looks at that page, they will see names that they recognize. And not just any name that they recognize, like Bob from down the street. We're talking about people who are internationally recognized and are extremely credible. So what they do is they incorrectly, mind you, think that I'm really massive and have a lot of credibility, and come towards me and say, "Oh, cool." Now, I don't think I've got a lot of credibility because of the fact that, well, as soon as I start claiming to have credibility, that means people will actually listen to me and 100% trust me, and I don't want that to happen because I'm a human being. I'm wrong most of the time, just like most human beings. You know what I'm saying?
And well, we all make mistakes, and we're all human, yeah. And I think that shows a level of maturity to know that, you know, and also to, you know, own up to the mistakes too is important. Yeah. Especially in this fast approaching developing media environment, things change on a dime. You know, so I think it's important to get the truth out. But yeah, if you make a mistake, some gets reported incorrectly, you do what any person does or organization does when they make a mistake. You tell people you made a mistake and you move on. I think people respect that. But what people don't respect is a flood of lies and a flood of manipulation, and, you know, which is just a one-way ticket to servitude and is a form of, you know, mental.
There's an old saying, Chris, just before we go to break. When an honest man is confronted that he is wrong, he either ceases to be wrong or ceases to be honest.
Yeah, and maybe something to talk about. I don't want to spend the whole show on it, but just the divisiveness, though, too, within the freedom and liberty movement at times is a little disheartening. I want to dig into that a little bit when we get back, also covering the debates. And I want to hear your thoughts on Pussy Riot, the band serving a term prison sentence, when we get right back. Arizona time. So you have to translate to whatever time zone you are tuning in around the world. I want to welcome everybody to the show, everybody in the live chat. Good to see all the familiar and new faces. I'm here with Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. He's another incredible and credible talent in his own right and follows us up. In fact, I'll be doing an hour on his program right after our show today. You know, we were talking about, at least before the break, I started to talk about some of the divisiveness, Vinny, even within the freedom and liberty movement and the people that should be our friends. You know, I'm not going to necessarily mention names. I don't want to get into, you know, that kind of situation per se. But why is it, do you think, there seems to be a divisiveness, even within the movement itself, where it's like people don't like the other person for that reason, this reason? Is it just sheer competitiveness for what we're doing? Is there something more there? And why can't we all just get along is what I want to know.
Well, I think debate and division is healthy within a society, but not if it's within a resistance to the people that control that society to a large degree. It's good to have discussions and arguments, so long as they don't turn into fights and name calling, It's okay to question other people's research and send them new stuff that perhaps they haven't seen, and then they go and they wake up and they go, "Oh my god, yeah." See, it's so many people that try to make sure of things in life by making things into a black and white. Black and white's much easier to understand. So you can either say all the Patriots are all completely messed up and they're all conspiracy theorists and they're all infighting with each other. See, they're not going to do anything. And the opposite side of the spectrum is everybody gets along and it's freaking singing kumbaya around a campfire and roasting a 9/11 tower replica marshmallows on a stick. No. It's a little bit of both. I've been with people literally singing and playing guitars who are conspiracy theorists and people all over the place. And to me, a conspiracy theorist is somebody who believes that there are powerful people who have a lot of influence, who use their power to maintain their influence. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. That's a conspiracy theorist because it means you don't think everything happens by accident. And in the truth movement, the infighting, there's some jealousy. There's some envy in that regard, but I don't think that's the majority of it. I think it's like when you realize, if anybody ever told you, "Oh, Chris, not everything's a conspiracy," I just go, "Yeah, well, most things are."
I hear that one all the time. I mean, or you get the everything's, it's all fear mongering. It's all, we need to unify. I think a lot of us are trying to accomplish, getting the truth out. At least I hope, get the truth out, get people to think. Yeah, I mean,
it's about collaboration, because like in a company, you've got a secretary, you've got a boss who comes up with the ideas, you've got inventors, you've got this, that, and the other. So everybody can play different roles. The difficulty is that I don't think people quite understand that working together means that you have to kind of enforce yourself and maintain your own ego and stuff like that. No, working together is about leaving your ego at the door and understanding that you can mold that ego with the ego of the other person around with you if they're willing, and together you come up with something that's much better than either of you. That's what it's about. If you spend all your time working with people and creating things that don't currently exist yet, like even just doing this radio show, Chris, after we finish this radio show, there will be a recording, snap, cut, etc. We've created something. We've actually created a product. And that's simply through doing an hour of conversation with each other, easy peasy, Japanesey, right? That's what I try to get out of conversations with people, is I try to get to a conclusion. Is there something, is there a product or a service or an enlightening experience that I can get out of this conversation? In fact, I was criticized one time when I was in university by a friend of mine saying, "Vinny, you try to force important conversation on people."
I think that's pretty good, though, for the radio TV business. I mean, you're trying to force important conversation.
Well, and this is something that I concluded. When I was in high school, man, I was ridiculously unpopular as anybody. Because, and yet, despite the fact that I was extremely unpopular, I won the senior speech competition, okay? One of the youngest people to ever do it. And I kind of realized then, I actually need an audience, right? People one-to-one, they don't get me on an audience level kind of thing. I'm actually more of a natural performance artist in the way that I speak and act rather than anything else. And I've tried to model my performance on other actors and other radio show hosts, filmmakers, etc., so that I can kind of like Legos, each person you listen to, each tactic you copy, each piece of information you quote out. It's a different piece of Lego that you're adding to your big sack of Lego for which you can build virtually anything out of.
Yeah, and I think you got a lot of passionate type A personalities, that we all kind of have that drive. And so you've got a lot of the same type of people in one area. But I thought it was just worth kind of delving into that a little bit. You know, there was a, I guess there's been an ongoing story, and I know you don't know a whole lot about it, Vinny, but Pussy Riot, the band, two of the three girls are serving a two-year sentence in some of the hardest prison camps in Russia, really for just criticizing Vladimir Putin.
Well, it was actually for having a concert in a church, yeah, and these prisons don't even have toilets, okay? They're like 1920s era barracks, okay? They, like, their cells are barracks with lines of bunks. That's it.
So let me ask you this directly, because, you know, I'm out here in America. We obviously have our problems. I talk about them all the time. You're out in New Zealand. What is your comfort level? And I know we got some few people in the queue, so we'll go to some calls. We'll both field those together, Vinny. But what's your comfort level with your ability to speak freely in New Zealand? I mean, how free to do that do you feel? Do you ever feel like, you know, it could end up like a Pussy Riot situation? Are you confident you've got the freedom of speech?
I'm in a different situation to every other New Zealander that tries to speak the truth. I have an audience that knows the truth and listens to it. That's it. Everybody else, on the other hand, fair game. My friend Vince Seymour, he reported that the courts ruled that 7 out of the 9 judgments on this massive terror raids that went over New Zealand and arrested a number of different people, alleging that they'd been taking part in training camps and things like that, ruled that 7 out of the 9 of the warrants issued were illegal. And they threw him, the guy who reported that, in his freaking website and media. He's a judicial watchdog in prison for months. And they held the trial when he was out of the country, knowing that he wouldn't be able to defend himself because he was out of the country in the US on business.
And so what exactly did he do? What was his alleged...
Let me just explain the background. You know how terrorism is this big problem that they're trying to hype up, right? And you know how they set up and arrest people all the time for absolutely no freaking good reason, and they really overdo it. Like they oversell it. They bring in huge amounts of thugs and guns and cars and shockingly large amounts of surveillance equipment and all of this kind of stuff to surveil people who aren't really actually doing anything, and there's no freaking reason for it, because and that's why you have probable cause and those sorts of laws, right? Well, New Zealand police decided to ignore all that and decided to make up a whole bunch of stuff about some people. And they had 2,000 people plus an entire town literally under surveillance, okay? People, a small town with 2,000 people, every single one of those people in that whole town was under surveillance. They had cameras through the bush, okay? Big, massive New Zealand native bush. They had cameras like on trees all over the place through that stuff, trying to catch things that were going on and stuff like this. And they did this dawn raid where they invaded a huge amount of houses in the village. For all these people who are alleged terrorists and stuff like that, pointing guns at their kids. I mean, these people yesterday were painting a picture in his garage with his grandchildren. And if the police had come to his door and knocked and asked, what's this going on here? He would have told them absolutely everything and cooperated 100%. Okay. Now, there were 9 houses that were busted into that morning in that town. And 7 of those warrants that were issued by judges elsewhere in New Zealand were ruled illegal by a Mrs. Judge Winkleman, okay? And then she sealed that judgment so that the media wouldn't be able to report on it, kind of thing. And so Vince Seymour decided that he would report that those all those raids were illegal, or at least 7 out of the 9 of them, and then he got thrown in jail.
Yeah,
that's freedom of speech for you in New Zealand. And so I do not feel safe because I've got an audience. I don't think any one of us in this country is 100% safe with their freedom of speech, because freedom of speech means you can say anything. Freedom of speech in New Zealand means you can say anything you want, but if it damages the wrong people or the credibility of the country or a much larger agenda, you don't have free speech.
Well, think about this, too. I mean, just with freedom of speech, you might even live in a country that, say, let's say you live in a country and it's the greatest pinnacle of free speech anywhere in the world. I don't really know if that place is America. It probably still is to a certain degree. But you not only have to worry about your own government, you have to worry about the other governments that you could be offending. I mean, we've seen this in history. I'm trying to think of who the author was. I forget the title of the book exactly, but he put out a piece on Islam and the Muslim faith, and the Ayatollah put a, what do they call it, how do you say it? I don't know if I can pronounce it, but basically put him on a assassination list, and the guy was running for 10, 12 years, had to be under constant security watch. So it might not even be your own country. You just, someone puts a hit on you. It's pretty scary stuff. We've seen it through history. So you have to, I guess those are things to also take into consideration.
Well, but like I said before, just because they'll come down on you like a ton of bricks doesn't mean you shouldn't kick out their support structures that makes that tumbling brick pile come down, okay? Because at the moment, it's blocking everybody else. People need to be brave and bold, and they need to sacrifice. It is the only thing that we really have at the end of the day. We don't have massive wealth, we don't have massive resources, but we have the will to sacrifice, and that is often more powerful than any amount of wealth or resources.
So let me ask you this, as an alternative media guy and, doing what you do, what would you say is your, Vinny's greatest challenge to, growing your program and, getting the message out? What would that be?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Nothing. This is a piece of cake, bro. Everything that I'm doing. Answering all the emails, editing all the videos, doing all the audio archives, writing all the blogs, interviewing all the people, posting up on the website. I'm traveling down to some kind of sacred place where energies emanate out of the earth and that stop all electronic devices from working. And this kind of that throws off compasses and all of that sort of stuff. Last weekend, I was doing a chemtrail protest I'm just doing it all the time.
I think that actually is really telling, because your answer, what that tells the world, if the people don't already know it, is that, you don't even have a need for the existing systems anymore. I mean, my perspective is, government, get out of the way. I don't need you. Why are you here? Why are you, why do I have an albatross of debt strangling me? Around my neck, on my back, for what? Why do we even need a government? Why do we need these systems? Why? This is an entirely new world now, where literally people like yourself are competing with the establishment, not just in media and the niche that we happen to be in. But I mean, this is happening across all facets of industry and society. I don't care if this is. It could be healthcare, it could be education.
There's a point there. There's a point there, man, because I think we touched on something really, really interesting. I am competing with mainstream media, but I am collaborating with all alternative media. As far as I'm concerned, the alternative media are not my enemy. They are my potential allies, potential business partners, potential sponsors, potential this, that, and the other, okay? Until, of course, they attack me and demonize me and that kind of stuff, in which case I block them and I never talk about them again, and I just go ahead build what I got up as much as possible. So compete against the mainstream media, but collaborate with your alternative media brethren, okay? Because we are much better when we work here and there together with a lot of different people. You expand a much more powerful network that way, and also it turns you into a celebrity. Celebrities have a lot of sway, mostly because they're spread across different media.
Yeah, that's why you are a success, Vinny. You'll be one of the guys that sticks around. I'm here with Vinny Eastwood. This is Green Wave Radio, broadcasting on the AFR Network. We'll be right back in just a minute. We'll be right back. Green Wave Radio Live. I'm here with Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Make sure to stay tuned. I'll be on during his first hour coming up next. Let's go to some calls here. We'll reopen up those lines. Cue the producers at number. Just as a reminder, it's 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. We've had a few of you patiently waiting in the queue. Let's go to a 325 area code, 325. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey there.
Nope. Oh, there we are.
I heard somebody. Yeah, so what's on your mind, my friend?
Oh, I just want to say I'm a big fan, and I've called in a couple times, and I can't help myself. I have to call in and talk to y'all guys whenever I have the opportunity, so here I am.
Well, awesome. Well, what's going on in that head of yours?
Well, y'all started talking about the debate, or Chris, you were earlier, and then I was watching it, and I just couldn't help but say that these two guys have way too much in common, and it kind of makes me sit back and say, you know, we've got two parties, but with this type of leadership, I mean, the agendas just aren't that different to me. I was wondering if y'all agreed with that.
Well, I totally agree with that, and you're absolutely correct. Here's the problem. Because there's no third-party candidate sitting at the debate table, most of America doesn't even realize that fact. And it'd be a lot more clear if you had any third-party candidate there at the table.
Any of them.
Just how paralleled Obama and Romney are in every single meaningful issue, foreign or domestic, versus any other opinion. So that to me is what I fundamentally see as the problem, and I'll have Benny, you weigh on this as well, is that we just don't get representation, this is not a true democracy. I'd like to see, I mean, just even these rules, some of them don't really make sense. I mean, the fact that, Ron Paul, for example, he ran on the Republican ticket. Why should he have to stand down and endorse? I know he officially didn't. But why should he have to stand down if he doesn't get the official endorsement of the Republicans? He's still highly influential. Why can't he sit around the table? Why can't we have members of the Green Party there in the discussion? And the reason is there really is no democracy. Vinny, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think what's happening is you walk into a fruit store and they've got red apples and green Granny Smith apples, and that's it. That's all you've got to compare with. The dude across the road, on the other hand, at a much, much smaller store, has all this other wondrous variety. You know, he's got grapes, he's got oranges, he's got cucumbers, he's got the whole kit and shaboodle. But the thing is, he can't afford all the advertising revenue to attract you to his shop with all these really interesting, beautiful things that you wouldn't ever conceive even really existed, because all you know is there's two different flavors of apple, right?
So let me ask that, throw that back to the caller, and we'll throw that to you, Vinny. So should your net worth and the capital that you can attract to run your multi-million, $100 million campaign be a prerequisite to even attempt, to run for the president and become the president of the United States? Caller, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that people like us should represent us, and I don't think the middle class is properly represented here. I don't see it at all. I don't think that's right at all, that only these rich people, millionaires, billionaires, probably in Romney's case, are up there representing us. I don't know what to do about it, honestly.
I say that if you don't see what you want to see out there, then you have to become that person. Okay, if you don't see anybody at all running as a decent candidate in your neck of the woods, throw your hat in the ring. And what's funny is that if you do the right thing, you'll be surprised just how many people come out to support you. And if enough good people come out to support you, then you'll be even more surprised by how much bad people come out to destroy you.
It's not a fair political format. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head, caller. There is no representation of by and for the people. The representation is for the special interest groups and the corporatocracy that funds and owns these candidates. Has nothing to do with the people. And that's the sad state of affairs in America today. I'm going to go to the next caller. Thank you, caller, for calling in. I do remember you, I think, from a show or two ago. So great to have you in on the chat line. Let's go to an 858 area code, patiently waiting. 858, hi, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
Doing great. My name's Reed. I'm a big-time fan and a first-time caller. And I wanted to talk to you about, I heard on a show a while back, you had somebody that you were speaking with. It was a regular contact of yours. And I think somehow they were involved in the intel community, and they were talking to you about something that I was not familiar with called a WebBot that tracked things and patterns on the internet. And it said he was talking to you about how the data flow through the internet is actually slowing down, and it's predicted to stop by like July of 2013. But I haven't heard anything about that since then. Have you got any updates on that? Or I was just curious about that.
Yeah, and you know, I don't really have an update for you per se, although you bring up a good point, and that would be a good slot for an upcoming guest to kind of bring us that update. But you know, what I know of the WebBot technology, I'm not an expert in this area, but it's very much a predictive algorithmic technology, and they search for things like keywords, and basically a computer will learn what's being popularized through search terms on the internet, what people are looking for, etc. And it's supposed to give a
It's a reflection of the subconscious of humanity, basically. If everything that we interact with on the internet, even with certain keystrokes, keywords, and things like that, reflections of our subconscious come out in it, and the WebBot program is designed to kind of measure it. And I even had Cliff Hive on the show about a month or two ago. It's on the featured interviews section of the EveningEastwoodShow.com. And what freaked me out is that it's kind of been predicting the future sort of thing, but not recently. Okay, it's just stopped, as if there's not an internet there anymore. You know, it's kind of like in a temporal flux in a way there. And what Cliff is saying is that by May of next year, there's a chance that there won't be an internet, not as we know it.
Well, this is
I was just saying that's what I understood from that one show, and I was just wondering if, you know, Bill, if either of you had heard any future updates on that, because I haven't heard about it lately, so that's mainly why I was calling. So.
Yeah, well, I don't have an exact answer for you, but I will. I'll get somebody on the show soon, and they can bring an update for us. It's an excellent idea and a follow up for a follow up guest. One thing I do, and this isn't really WebBot related per se, although I'm not sure if you're familiar. You know, Max Kaiser, he made a prediction. I think it's for April of next year. He's calling for a major financial shakeout, another major financial crash. I don't know if you'd heard about that, caller.
No, I haven't heard about that.
So, you know, for what it's worth, I don't think anybody's got a crystal ball. Obviously, I don't. But we do seem to be getting some very heavy predictions. I'll look into seeing how
and
we get
up. And this is not just technological either. I've been talking with psychics, spiritual people, alien abductees, some of the psychics I've been talking to, their vision's kind of gone. They're just like, I used to be able to see the future so clearly and stuff like that. And now there's nothing.
Okay, that is really. I want to think about that for a minute. Think about that. Just me is almost haunting a little bit. So you're telling me a lot of these people that have a clairvoyance or like a psychic ability, they're just seeing darkness going forward. They just are blank. I mean, what does that mean? Is the world really coming to an end if they don't see anything?
And I relate it to the WebBot, because the WebBot is kind of like a distorted crystal ball in a way, and so is any type of psychic potential. Like you won't see earrings in that folded piece of paper. You'll see sprockets and a pipe and a square. And then you open it up, and it's like you didn't recognize it as an earring, but there's the pipe, that's the shaft of the earring, there's the square, which is the diamond, and there's the sprocket, which goes into your ear. So it's like, okay, I suddenly understand that. So when you're making predictions, the information kind of is scattered, and you don't recognize things as they are, but you recognize aspects of what it is, and that's why so many predictions are really, really vague and difficult to comprehend, is because you're getting the information in a rudimentary fashion. It's like one piece of information comes out at a time. And doesn't actually relay the whole concept and make it clear together. That's why it's all vague, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. We got about time for maybe one last quick question, comment. I'm going to go to an 828 area code, 828. See if I can unmute you there. I'm not sure if that worked. Let's see here. Let me try that again. Okay, there. It looks like we got you there. You have a question or comment?
Yes. Hi, gentlemen. I'll be brief. I know you're getting close to the end. First off, you can tell the last caller that Cliff High has free podcasts. If you just go to Half Past Human, he's got them out, you know, whenever he feels like it. But anyway, the second thing real quick is the debate tonight, the second debate.
Well, sorry about that. We're losing you. We're getting queued out from our caller line, but...
We can take the call in the first hour of my show. Hold on.
Yeah, so, caller, why don't you hold on there? And that goes for the rest of you wanting to call in and get way in on the action. Vinny Eastwood Show coming up next. Thank you to everybody for joining us. Vinny, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. This is Green Wave Radio Live, hard-hitting and in your face.
It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these time and time again.